Well, good morning again, and thank you for coming. As you looked in the book of Isaiah, it talks about those that did certain things to look righteous, and then the very next day, they were a different person. You ever heard about the Sunday Christian? They're one way on Sunday, and then on Monday, you wouldn't know if they were a Christian, would you? We've learned some things through this time of these messages where really it was just one message from the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard that we need to be called. God is calling for those to find Him for forgiveness of sin. You, many, have answered that call, knowing what God has done for you. And then last week, we studied that there are some core values, if you were in business today. We call them attitudes or blessings. And those were things that the disciples were to show in their life that they were a believer. It would cost them. We had, depending on how you look at it, most say 8. But you could look at it at 9 when you looked at a message for the disciples that it would even cost them. Perhaps their life. And I don't know, through last weeks, if you spent the time we talked about with Jesus, if you went and looked at those core values and say, I can hold true to those, no matter what happens in my life, where will I go, I will hold on to those. And today, he talks to his disciples, and he gives out 3 things that he talks to them about. In the audience always seems to be the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees are trying to look to build a case against Jesus, how he would go against what they had been taught. But just as in Isaiah's time and in Jesus' time, they added to the law what things they thought the church should do. And that's not too uncommon in some churches today. But God wants you to know there's simple ways. There's the calling, shouldn't change in any church, the same call. There's the rules for a disciple as an attitude you should have. And now he says, I want you to know it's very important in your life not to just to be here really on Sunday and enjoy each other's fellowship. If our church is going to grow, not just spiritually, but in a way that we can minister, we need to be reaching out with the gospel to the world. You will have opportunities I will not have. And each of you have different places that God has put you. There may be a day, it may not be too good. You say, well, you know, today was a tough day. But you might be the only one that's in that place at that time, ministering on the way that you would live. He gives us 3 examples. He says, first of all, you are the what? You can cheat there. He says, you're the what? Salt. Anybody know what salt is? But preservative. You can know the chemical compound. Now, salt, even though it was used at Jesus' time, was a little bit different than what we manufacture today. What we manufacture today, really it's pretty hard to lose the saltiness of the salt because of its chemical compound. It's one of the hardest ones to break down and not be salty anymore. But in Jesus' day, salt was brought out like of the Dead Sea. They would bring salt out. And it was a very important part of daily life. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have ice boxes, if you can remember the way in the back where people have big blocks of ice. Remember that? When people carry that? Some people don't know that. But salt, as it was mentioned, was a preservative. It would keep things and last them longer. One of the largest professions at the time of Jesus, and some of the disciples were in that profession, where they were what? Fishermen. And to make sure that the fish would not spoil, is they would take the fish and cover it and put salt on it. And that way that fish could be transported from one city to another city and they can make their money on it. If they're not, what happens to the fish? It has no value and it spoils, it rots. So also does some other things. Anybody eat corn on the cob? Can you still do that, most of you? Eat corn on the cob, you know? Maybe somebody got to cut it off now. But have you ever lathered up corn on the cob and put some butter on it? And you might add what? Salt. I'll tell you what, good corn on the cob, butter, and salt. And we don't really talk about how great the salt is. We talk about how great the what is? The corn. The corn, this corn tastes so good because we added salt. There's a lesson in that too. So, it was understood that salt had value, it preserved, it made things taste better, was common knowledge in Jesus' time and our time. Now, salt also had extreme value in Jesus' time. Here, today, we say, out of all the things that we can buy, as prices continue to go up, salt, it's not that bad in price. You can get that. Now, we like to get different kinds, don't we? I like to get the pink salt or whatever, right, as we go through. But in Jesus' time, it had so much value that it was even considered at the time to be used as wages. So if you needed to pay somebody, you could pay them in salt. When they conquered another area in Rome, they would go ahead and tell the soldiers, take the salt. This your wages. And we get some sayings that they're not worth their salt, or something like that, not worth salt. You ever hear of those kind of sayings? And that's kind of how those came about. How do we put the spiritual aspect on it? What Jesus was telling his disciples that as you are in the world, you need to also be out. Your mission now will not just to be learned from me as your rabbi, but now you will be commissioned to be going out. And when you go out, one of the things that you will be is salt. Does anybody see a problem with the world today? Some of you, yeah, you kind of snicker or whatever, right? It's a sick world out there. It is so bad. It's amazing things that are allowed today were not allowed even when I was growing up. You would not see or hear or whatever. So the world is exposed to so much evil and so much sin to practice. And so his message to you today as disciples and followers, as his disciples, you are salt. You ask why, and some did in the Bible, they asked, why hasn't Jesus come? Why hasn't he come back? Why hasn't he come quickly? And part of that reason is that he's trying to gather as many to him as he can. And he cannot reach out to them in the sense of his physical being anymore, but he can do it through you. If you're in a workplace and you don't like your workplace, or you see evil happen in your workplace, you're the salt. Maybe the only reason the business is still going today is because of your testimony in the workplace. That's happened before. God has left that business to continue to run because he is providing for his followers who are following him. In your neighborhood, you are the salt in your neighborhood. Some have HOAs, home associations. Anybody have any of those? Oh, those are so fun to serve on boards and everything, right? You've done that? I have. And I'm glad I'm not now. But in those cases, many times your testimony will be tested, or the living of godly ways will be tested, and you are that salt. If you have grandchildren or children in schools, to send the message that God would want to stand is you are that salt that preserves a wicked, rotten world today is because you're that salt. And wherever you are placed, he wants you to know that you are the preservator. We need people to be out in the world, not just practicing Christianity on a Sunday, but practicing as they go out. And as pastors, we're to equip people so they might go out equipped. And your equipment is the Word of God. That time that we talked about, where you call on God as He called on you. You're spending that time to grow in the Scripture. You can't just do it on a Sunday. It's a normal process. Does anybody just eat on Sunday and not eat the rest of the week? Anybody do that? You might if you're doing the dieting or the fasting thing I talked about in Isaiah. But you're feeding every day, and you ought to be feeding on the Word of God every day so that He might strengthen you and talk with you, and you might be that value of salt. Then He says to the disciples, you're not only salt, but you are... You got bulletins? Everybody get a bulletin today? Because you can go back in there. Salt, and you're also light. Anybody wake up at night and can't see? As I've got older, it used to make my eyes would adjust pretty quick. Now I notice they don't adjust as quick. I got to stop and wait, because if I don't, guess what? I might, even though it's been there, my house has been that way for a while. It's not like if anybody moved anything, but guess what? Might bump into something. You ever done that at night? And sometimes your eyes adjust, and the thing that happens is just the little bit of light helps us in the walk of what we do. And He says it's kind of funny about light. You know, light, you don't hide it under what? A bowl. Does it make any sense? And what would happen in the days they didn't have the electricity, they would have the candles and that. If we put a bowl over the candle, what's going to happen? The light's going to go out. Number one, we're not going to see anything better with a bowl over it, are we? Now, you can be really smart and say, well, I had a clear bowl. But your light could go out. But He's saying to His disciples, and He's saying to you, you not only are a preservator in the world, but you are a light to show people what God is about. Do you love God? Well, heads bowing up and down, and yeses would be great, or amens, that would be great. But if you remember what God has done for you and saved you from your sin that you could not do or earn by yourself, you ought to be excited and delight to tell someone else. I told you before, and Scripture shows you, where Christ Himself was so moved by people not wanting to respond to the message that it would bring tears, or it would bring a thing where He said, I wish you understood, and I could gather you, and I could teach you, and I could show you. And as a body here of the church, we can love each other, we can enjoy the fellowship, but we need to be out anytime and have that testimony of Christ, a light. There are many today that have mental health issues, more so than ever before, that have been broadcast, and so many things that are out there. And the number one medication out there is drugs. It's not Christ. There are many today that need a hand, an encouragement. Children needing to know that their parents, as they're trying to raise them, are doing the best they can and aren't perfect, but if they're building them up in a godly manner, it's the right thing. As grandparents, I'm available to you in any way. I pray for you on a daily basis, but I want you to know, if you have a spiritual question, let me know. And I'll work with you to find an answer. Or I want you to know that God loves you, that in any mistake that you have made, God is a God of mercy, a God of grace. He's a God of forgiveness. I want to share the light of Christ with you. And as a disciple, He was saying, you are now lights. Don't go out there and hide. Don't go out there acting like you're going to put a bowl on your testimony. You need to be sharing the light. One of the first things most people do when they meet each other, if it's been a first time, they talk about safe things, usually the weather. How's the weather? But wouldn't it be nice when we talk to people and say, I want to know, Dave, I want to know, how did you meet God? When did God become important in your life? And I will tell you, those are so interesting in stories because nearly every one of us has met God in a different way. Now, if you met somebody and you were together and you both met Jesus at that same day and a call that came, fantastic. And it will encourage your own testimony as you share about your own testimony. Those are things. If somebody says, how was your week this week? What did God do in your week this week that let your light so shine? Two things for the disciples, your salt and your light. He did mention the law. And the Pharisees were there, and I believe it was really mentioned for the Pharisees and the Sadducees to know that God did not come to destroy the law or make new rules or new guidelines. He came to fulfill the law. Had they gone back and looked at prophecy, they should have been excited to know the Messiah was there teaching them. They had opportunity to be salt and light. And he said, if you become like them, you can go to church, you can hear about the Bible, you might be able to recite some scripture. But if you won't live the life and you won't accept the call, you're no different than that Pharisee or that Sadducee. There are no new rules. Christianity has not changed. It's a simple gospel. It's not things that have been added to the gospel that you might know your state with Christ. It's simple. The cross. Jesus came for you and for me to die for our sins, that when we stand and when we pray before a holy God, we are accepted. But it is not good enough just to accept. Yes, it gets you to heaven. But his mission and his purpose, there's a lot of people looking for what their purpose is in life. And it doesn't matter your age. It's not like business and you get a pink slip and say you're done. It's not like you get to a certain age and you say, ooh, I'm retired. And some retired people are busier than when they were working. With God, it's you have work until he calls you home. And that work is to be light and be salt to a dying world. Heavenly Father, help us, we pray, as we leave today and we join the world, that we might be that salt, that preservator. We might be that light that would shine brightly that others might see Christ. Thank you for those that are following you, spending time with you, and want to be that disciple that would be well-pleasing in your sight. We know we are not able, but you are. So fill us continually with your Holy Spirit and guide us as we show the love of Christ, not only as a church body, but as individuals in a sinful world. In Jesus' precious name, amen.